Our reading then is Philippians chapter 2. We're going to read from verse 1 to verse 11. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore God also has highly exalted him, and given him the name which is above every name, that, the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, those in heaven, and of those on earth, and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. That is the word of God. Well, the sermon is entitled, Welcome Back. Right? Welcome Back. We're going to be drawing, when we come to it, on Philippians 2, verse 2, because really we're looking at this, being of one mind. Okay, that's where we're going to get to. But at the moment, well, welcome back. And it's a curious situation for me. I said earlier that I'm used to standing here speaking to empty pews. Now there are people. There you are, you're scattered around, those of you who are here, those friends who are listening, through the internet, you can perhaps imagine us scattered about the building, but nevertheless, here and present. Curious, because for me, I've actually spent more time in this building in the last 3.5 months, probably, I think, if I tot it up, than in the last 19 and a half years. But I've shifted my workstation there into the schoolroom. That has been my prayer closet. That's been the place that I've uttered up my loud cries and petitions. That's been my place of reflection, of learning, of reading, and of contemplation. So I am a little bit like a bit like the head teacher. You know, you're there through the school during the summer. You're imagining when everybody will be there. They come back. You're like aboard the Marie Celeste. It's empty. Nobody else is about. You walk around the place, but you know, one day folks will come back, and though we're not all back, we're all present and correct, and we look forward to the day when friends who are listening online will actually be present and situated here. But a lot has happened, hasn't it? I think so. 3.5 months. There is a lot that has happened. Not just the scaffolding that's up around the building, but for us as people. Well, here we are. Welcome back. But have I welcomed back the same people that were here 3.5 months ago? Well, if that was what the schoolroom was for me, what has your home been for you over this last 3.5 months when you've not been able to be here? Has it been a place for reflection, self-examination? Has it been a place for you to be thinking? And you know, when you start to think, it usually leads to the next word, repentance. Has it led you to repentance, to a change of mind, reviewing, thinking of things differently, thinking about yourself differently, thinking about life differently, thinking about God differently? And has that led to you then growing and therefore changing? Oh, we can think, can't we? Business as usual. I hope we're not. I hope we're not thinking that. I hope, in fact, well, don't use the word business as usual. It's not quite what applies, it really, to the life of God's people. But take away the as usual part. We want it to be unusual. We want it to be extraordinary, in fact. welcome back, but let's be on the journey. Let's be taking what I hope has been a productive time in lockdown and embed that into the people that we're now going to be from here on in. Because the questions we ask, well, the questions we've been asking over the years, aren't they? Where are we now? Where are we now? Where are you now? Where am I now? Who are you? Who am I? What are we? What am I? Where are we? Who are we? And those are the sorts of questions, well, actually not only Christians have been asking. Non-Christians have been asking it too, haven't they? And sometimes they're coming up with some pretty good answers to value things that they hadn't valued before, to appreciate things that they hadn't appreciated before. All right, they haven't been given thanks to God, but at least in some measure, they're on the right wavelength. Is that you? And so I find myself with this idea, being of one mind. I resolve, as we come back, as I welcome you back, that we might be of one mind. During the lockdown, I don't know whether to use past tense now for it, but anyway, it almost seems like another era. During lockdown, Evangelical Times asked me to just put something together, and they're going to use extracts of it, and other pastors were saying what they were saying. And what is it I'm praying for my church? Good question. And I found myself saying, well, that we'd be one mind and one spirit. That there'd be something there, some extra dimension of unity. I'll come to it a bit more in a moment, because I think actually these days are critical, and they're going to stay critical. Coming out of pandemic, well, maybe we are. But I think things have changed. I think the ground has actually moved under our society's feet. And we as Christians need to be really on top of it, really at our best. We'll come to that, though, in a moment. That's what I found myself saying. And just as we have in Philippians 2, verse 2, where Paul says, as an apostle writing to this church from prison, this would really fulfill my joy, he says. This would really, really make for my day. It would fulfill my joy that you would be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. That there would be that coming together in your thinking that would be of one mind. And he said, that will make me very joyful. And he's already listed some of the things there that he's applying by way of pressure to make it happen. That if you found any consolation in Christ, and let me surely say what we have, or any comfort of love, let me surely say what we have found that, any fellowship of the Spirit. Yes, we found grace, we found help from him, if any affection, any mercy. And of course, he is suggesting to them, we found plenty of affection, plenty of mercy in Christ. And so from that, he makes his appeal. It's there in chapter 1 of Philippians, and it's there in verse 27, writing at distance from them. But he says, only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs. But you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. This idea, one mind, one spirit. And he mentions the gospel. I'm going to mention that again in a moment too. Because it really asks of us this. What's important, what isn't? What's important, what isn't? What's important, that becomes part of what being one mind is, one purpose, one spirit. What's unimportant, we leave that. That's not what is key. So now my first heading, thanksgiving. 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 Every day, all days. Today, as we meet again as God's people, yes, most especially today. But thanksgiving's everywhere in Scripture, isn't it? For every day, no matter what sort of day. If we weren't here today, if we're still in the worst of the coronavirus, we would still surely be giving thanks to God. We read Psalm 92 earlier. Let me just read the first couple of verses of it. It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night. We're here, aren't we, to declare his loving kindness this morning. We can talk about his faithfulness in the morning, or we can talk about it in the evening And we won't neglect either to talk about his loving kindness in the evening either. Psalm 107, verse 1, which is repeated again and again in Scripture. Why, if you read Psalm 136, it's repeated again and again and again. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Our Lord Jesus Christ himself gave thanks. In Matthew chapter 15, verses 36 and 37. Here he is with the multitude before him, the feeding of them. And we read this in verse 36 of Matthew 15. And he took the 7 loaves and the fish, gave thanks, broke them, and gave them to the disciples. And the disciples gave to the multitude. So they all ate and were filled. And they took up 7 large baskets full of the fragments that were left. And he gave thanks, didn't he? The Son of God giving thanks to God. That's because he's the mediator. That's because he's come. As Philippians 2, when we read it further, also tells us that he didn't consider it robbery to be equal with God. He wasn't going to grasp at this or hold this as something there. But then he would submit himself and be obedient. He gave thanks to God, and so should we. And Philippians itself, of course, is a letter that is just absolutely full of thanksgiving. And in chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, we read, don't we, well-known words there. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. Ah, that thanksgiving. And Ephesians 5, verses 3 and 4, it starts with some bad things that come out of the mouth, and it finishes with good things. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you, as is fitting to saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. That's fitting. That's fitting for a believer. None of the other things are fitting at all. But that sits well upon their lips. Thanksgiving. Because they've got so much to be thankful for, haven't they? Haven't we? And that is what Paul the Apostle, by inspiration, reminds us all. Well, think of it. As a nation. Well, I know. They're talking second wave, second spikes, all the rest of it. Don't know. We'll have to wait and see. But the fact is, as a nation, speaking for our nation, we have been, largely speaking, spared. There have been mistakes, and those will be all gone into in some detail when the inquest is done on the government handling of the crisis. And there will be things that won't be, I'm sure, complimentary to the government. But staying with the positive, we've been spared. You've been spared. I've been spared. We've had friends whose health conditions were very precarious, who went into hospital when the thing was at its worst, survived, came home, and are doing fine. We, as a nation, have been spared. We, as God's people, have been spared. Thanksgiving, then. We give thanks to God. We give thanks to God for our daily bread. Right at the beginning, it became very obvious that all those van drivers, all those lorry drivers, were going to become stars. They're going to become the heroes. They were the people, the unsung heroes, the people nobody bothers with much. Very often the people that commentators write off and have the most uncomplimentary things to say about. They're going to be the heroes, the shop workers. Well, we all knew the health workers and care workers were in the mix for that. But so many other people, the bus drivers, well, I've mentioned there the train conductors as well, I dare not mention them. They've been the heroes. They've been out there doing the work, taking risks, and the country kept moving. We always smile at home because, and household tradition, that we have meatballs on Saturday. I confess to our extravagances, don't I, here in your midst. We have meatballs on Saturday. And I wondered at the beginning of this, because we get them from the local butcher, will this continue? Is this going to end? The supply chains break down. These are your kind of luxury items that are off the menu. No. I think one Saturday, and that's because we were late getting to the butchers and they'd sold out, more fool us then. But no, there have been meatballs in the hand household every Saturday. And you'll have your equivalent. You'll have had things too, which were your what we usually do things. And despite the fact of a pandemic and a lockdown, you still had that food on the table, or that particular little pleasure or enjoyment that was there for you. We give thanks to God. Give thanks to God. I wonder, would the bins be emptied? Well, actually, they weren't emptied on Friday or yesterday, but the only exception we've had, we're still waiting for them to come. I could well imagine, perhaps you did too, rotting rubbish, nobody coming to collect it. And that wouldn't have been very pretty at all. But we give thanks to God. We've carried on. We give thanks to God for what we were able to do, even during lockdown, conversations and emails. And then those funny, funny times when we sat in people's back gardens, sat in all weathers, and some of us here have got a story or two to tell about sitting in gardens. We would never usually have sat out in your garden, but there we were, enjoying that. Well, we can go in houses now, so we're thankful to God. Thankful to him for his grace, for his grace, for his mercy. It's time to stop, isn't it? It's been time to think. And just to remember, well, we have a great Saviour, and he died upon the cross. Any affection, any mercy, well, Paul's readers then must have been the most mean-spirited of people, not to say, well, actually, yes, there's been an awful lot of mercy and an awful lot of affection that we've received, and we find it in each other, but we found it first of all in him. We found it in Christ. We found that. We found his love. We found plenty of consolation in him. And I think we all have, if we've had ears to hear, if we had a mind to search it out. This time has been such a help to stop, to focus, and to focus on him, and to recover him. If we lost our first love for him, to perhaps have that rekindled. And that has been so, so precious. Thanksgiving. And yes, Thanksgiving today. Thanksgiving today. Sorry to our friends who are not present with us here, but we look forward to the day when you will be. But here we are. Liberties, which are God-given liberties, which the government sort of took from us. We understood why, by and large, but we waited for them to be restored. And now they have been. And we are able to meet again here, to worship God, to be able to do what is right to do and proper to do, to worship God. If you come for no other reason today, well, that's the biggest reason, to worship God. That you'll be in his house, and you'll respond to him, and you'll show your devotion to him by being here, not somewhere else. And we've been deprived of this, we understood why, and we're born with it. But as soon as, for us, as soon as that restriction is lifted, we are here. We've got our one-way system, got our notices, we've got our communion all done as it's done. Yeah, but we're here. And we mentioned communion, that's something we haven't been able to do. It's only when you come together in one place, the gathered church, where you can observe that. And I felt that, that we are asked to remember him in this way, and we've been prevented. Understood it? I'd like to think too the Lord's understood it. But here we are, at the first available opportunity. We are going to remember him around his table, preaching the word of God, fellowship, can talk to each other. On that drafty lawn out there, you can stand in your coats and talk to each other there. Now you can stay in the building too, can't you? We're having some fellowship again. So Thanksgiving. I hope we're of one mind in that, one spirit in that, that this is a day of Thanksgiving. A day of Thanksgiving on top of other days of Thanksgiving and reasons for Thanksgiving. And that, oh, it's the British disease, isn't it? It's here, it's there. Yes, it links up with it somewhere. Complaining, moaning. Where are your meatballs? Oh, God. You could have had a right moan there, I'm sure, at home if they weren't there. Complaining and moaning. Well, Thanksgiving, isn't it? Is to replace that negativity out, Thanksgiving in. Because Thanksgiving always means our mind is on good things, positive things, ultimately on Christ. Our second heading. A mind on the future. Mind on the future. One mind about the future. Our future. And our hope that we've been praying for. A roof that will, God willing, be fixed soon. And we thank God for these things. But we've always reminded ourselves of this. And that's where the schoolroom kept up all the pictures of Holiday Bible Club. What's this about? What is it we're here for? And it's this, isn't it? Bringing the gospel. Children, young people, any people. People locally, people not so locally. The internet there takes the word, doesn't it? We know not who. All kinds of distant nations. The gospel. That's Philippians chapter 1, verse 27, isn't it? About being of one mind about the gospel. How important that is. And that it's continuing. And that we, if it's with our latest breath, that we will be happy to cry, behold, behold the Lamb. Because that's what the gospel's about. It's not words. It's not just some formula. It's about him. It's about what he's done, who he is, and what he's accomplished, and what he can accomplish for a sinner if they trust in him. Because we trusted in him. Something of that is living with us every day. Some days better than other days. And we're sorry when we're not sure and as clear as we should be. But that's him. And we're of one mind. I don't think they're listening much out there, though. I don't think the pandemic has generated a sudden inquiry or interest. It hasn't happened around here. But we still want that word to be preached on the notice board. That's stayed out there. The texts have stayed out there. Left up there, if people wanted to inquire, we're here. Well, they didn't bang on the door, whatever the equivalent would be there with the internet. We need to keep praying for the gospel, but be sure in ourselves that that's the message, the only message. Nobody else, nothing else will save them except Jesus Christ and him crucified. They need to believe in him. Any of us, we need to believe in him. But next, as we think about the future, time is short, right? Time is scarce. It's very, very scarce. Well, some of us over these last few months hit birthdays and entered into new decades. And you look back on previous decades and you ask, where did that go? Where did that time go? What did I do for God in that time? Where was I? Was I present and correct? Was I there on the front line, putting it in those terms? Or was I absent, fighting needless battles? Tied up with needless things. And as you look to the future, and you realize your amount of time is dwindling. The sands of time, aren't they? They're sinking. And you want to make the most of that time for God. You want to make that time count in a way that previous times have not counted. All the time that we're growing up, and we're still growing up in our 50s, 60s, 70s, beyond it. Yeah, we're disciples, we're learning. But we want to have an urgency about us. One mind about that. Time is short. Time is scarce. And though the context of it in 1 Corinthians 7 was quite particular to that age and the persecution that was going to come, but we take the message, 1 Corinthians 7 verse 29. But this I say, brethren, the time is short. So that from now on, even those who have wives should be as though they had none. And so proceeds. So let's hold on life. We've got to get it right here. We've got to think about this. We've got to be ready, living for God, because time is short. Or Romans chapter 13, verses 11 and 12. And do this, the apostle says, knowing the time. Now it is high time to wake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Time's moved on. It's near to the time when you and I will stand before God. It gets ever nearer. Time is short. Make the most of it. Concentrate on what is important. Look for what the Bible says that's important. Like sanctification. We've been speaking about that, haven't we, in various contexts of late. Not the opinions of others. Not living in fear, bound by other people. By their opinions, which may not even be the right opinions, come to that. Things that you and I perhaps worried about, lost sleep over, cast your mind back. Was it worth it? Did those fears materialize? Did those troubles come to a full head? Or perhaps did not God bring you and me somehow, wonderfully, miraculously, safely through? Time is short. Make the most of these days. Don't fritter it away. In heedless worries that aren't worth worrying about. And finally this, third heading, a quality of life. A quality of life. That we're one mind, one spirit, one accord about this. That we're looking for a quality of relationship as God's people together. A quality of relationship. And it's summed up in this, that it's going to be Christ-like. It's going to be Christ-like. Now that's our resolve, and that's where Paul takes it, doesn't he? If you want to know what kind of one-mindedness you're to be, what is to be your attitude, your behavior, he then takes us to the glorious words of Philippians 2, verse 6 and following. Did you look at the Lord Jesus Christ? Model of patience, a model of humility, a model of loving kindness. Even though that's giving us there what we might call some wonderful Christology, telling us about the person of Christ. But actually Paul's telling us about that in order for us to learn the lesson, how he stooped, how he came down, how he lowered himself, who was entitled to glory and entitled to all angels, adoration and worship, and left it behind, lived on earth as a servant and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. A quality of life, Christ-likeness in us, but seen in others too, that we recognize in each other Christ-likeness, that we hear his voice, we see his attitude, we find something of him, well, in ourselves, in our better moments, but in each other as well. You know, we remind each other of whom we serve. We make it easy for people to believe in him because of what they see and what they hear in us. And even if it makes them think, he's different. And he's serious. Well, yes, he is different. And he's very serious. He's very serious that at the end of time, every knee's going to bow to him. Now, that's how that ends, doesn't it? That's a glorious prospect for us who are Christians. It's not such a glorious prospect for those who are not. And why now do we say this? Welcome back. This quality of life. We're enjoying fellowship. Well, we've been enjoying fellowship, haven't we, over the lockdown? It's true. But what do these days hold? What do these days ahead hold? I say, and perhaps we'll talk more at length about this another day, but the ground has moved under our feet as a nation, as a world, as societies, and therefore for us as believers. Something's changed. Something's moved on. And I'm not sure it's moved on in a way that I like too well. Sure, we might appreciate nature a bit better. We might spend a bit more time with each other. But there are other things that have been at work, other processes, other ideas that have been taking roots and moving things forward. And I think we'll feel the drafts in the days, years, decades, whatever God gives us, that lie ahead. And that's going to mean this. That's going to mean that we're going to need each other, perhaps as we've never needed each other before, that we're going to need to be towards each other. At our best, in our relationships, in our fellowship, in the reality of it, to encourage each other, to keep going forward. We are a small flock. I know a lot of small flocks. Some indeed are so small, they're not actually even able to meet today. And I think we're going to need them, and they're going to need us. And that quality of life, that Christ-likeness, is going to be something they're going to need, and something we're going to need in them. So, welcome back. We come back, I hope, with one mind. Thanksgiving, yes. Thinking about the future, the gospel, the irrelevance, the not so important things to the side, time is short. And that we want a quality of relationship that may be more and more valuable to us as we go on into an uncertain day. It is uncertain. Yeah, we hope. We've got a building. We're going to be able to meet here. We're going to have the damp coming in and the water coming in through the roof into the upper hall. Yes. But that life that we live and express within this building, it's got to have the right quality there. Because I think we're really going to need each other in the years that lie ahead.